pretty much spent by then, because as we've talked about before, these horses simply are not bred for the distance to, of the Belmont. By the way, the Preakness is a mile and 3/16, the Derby a mile and a quarter, so Preakness a little shorter, and then of course, whole new ball game once you hit the Belmont. It's an entirely different race.
A lot longer.
Yeah. And also, by the way, it should be noted is that this tonight is opening night at Canterbury, so it is a big horse racing weekend.
But I guess, I'm sure they have a big weekend plan with the Preakness. That'll obviously be broadcast there.
Yeah, and there'll be a lot of people there wagering on the Preakness. I looked at the just as basically a service, because I'm in a giving mood.
Yeah.
As a service to your listeners,
I
actually did sort of handicap the Canterbury card.
Oh.
I can't say that I did it with the kind of thoroughness, the kind of diligence that I would have years ago when it was my job. But I will give you a kind of a long shot, because I'm not going to pick a favorite, right?
Yep.
Anybody who goes out there can see who the favorite is. So I took Dr. Spin. He's the sixth horse in the sixth race, which means he'll probably finish sixth. but that's who I took, Dr. Spin. He's a price, 6-1 the morning line, on a jockey I don't particularly care for. But that jockey will only make him a bigger price. So
now, when people go to them, tomorrow and bet them, won't you be driving the odds, you know, making them a little tighter for you?
I would be if I was planning to bet the race.
Okay, but for people that bet it,
yeah.
So that's the one, Dr. Spin, sixth horse in the sixth race.
If I was betting the race, yeah, that's who I would take. You know, as a public handicapper for, 25 years,
yeah,
I never really worried that much about driving the price down, because I found most people were smart enough to just ignore me.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, and I think most people thought, oh, you know, he wouldn't pick this horse at 20-1 if he really thought it would win, which by the way, I would have. But, I mean, it got so bad, the final year of handicapped, I picked a horse that paid $54 or something. I think,
yeah,
it was $57. You know, and it was humbling to me. It was actually, I was sort of ashamed because
you paid so much.
Because it paid so much. I thought, there isn't one person in this place who believes in me.
Well, you know what,
life,
though?
But it's still humbling.
Had they not bet it, it might have paid $150.
Well, I comforted myself with that thought, but I was never quite able to buy into it.
To buy into it.
Yeah.
How are you buying into the whole Deflategate thing? This thing's going to wind up in federal court. There's no doubt about that.
You know, it might, but everybody agrees, all the owners and all the players, and everybody agrees to the rules, you know. And the rules set up this whole process, this disciplinary process, the hearing process. I don't really think there is a case in court. I think this thing is going to be settled however the commissioner settles it. And so far, this thing, and it's descending into farce. Well, maybe it already was. But when you look at the New England response, you know, first of all, they're saying that this guy McNally, who was the part-time equipment guy, the only reason he called himself the deflator was because he was trying to lose weight.
Yes.
I mean, they really said that.
I know.
Which is fairly bizarre. And you've got, I mean, once you get to that level, it's like a bad episode of Better Call Saul. The whole thing is descending into this. And, you know, and then of course they went and they did their clinical study on how long does it really take to relieve yourself in the men's room. And they said the minute 40 that supposedly was used to deflate the balls was also the average time it takes you to deflate your bladder. Now, I've timed this myself, and I find, I mean, I know I can do it in about a minute. And I know some people would say, well, you know, you're older and your prostate's enlarged, so that could be a factor. Well, that could be true, but you know, I didn't really allow for the BKS factor, you know, the bashful kidney syndrome factor. So, and I don't drink beer. In the end, I think it would depend on whether you were using the modern urinal or the trough.
Oh, the trough would definitely slow you down,
the
right?
The trough would really slow you down, because for me, that's where the bashful kidney kicks in. And, of course, I have a terrible fear of the splashback. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even use the trough. So I don't know if they use the trough or not in New England. How old is that stadium?
Oh, I'm sure they have troughs there.
You think so?
Because it's an older stadium, yep.
Oh, my. It's just, you know, it's just scary to think about it, isn't it?
I know exactly what you're talking about with the splashback, because we've all had it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's for me, it's just like I go right to the ER, you know.
You know, Mike, because when I go, like, on in the summer, sometimes you go, you know, you wear shorts and you go somewhere.
Oh, God, I didn't want to think about that.
Well, but every time I wear shorts, you get splashback every time you go, because every time I wear shorts, I feel the splashback on my legs.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In other words, you're getting splashback every time you use a urinal.
And here's the problem. Once you start getting your own splashback, how do you know it's not from someone next to you? And that's where the real fear is. You know, for me, that would be like I'd have to have all sorts of testing, and it'd be months before I felt normal again.
Well, and also, who knows how well those things flush? It could be 30 guys worth of splashback.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I would never flush, because that's when you're really going to get splashes from the flush.
That's right.
Let someone else flush. Call me crazy. If I go into the stall and I want to flush, of course, I always would do it with my foot.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that thing. I don't care what the studies say. Now, the other thing about, of course, the first thing I always do in a controversy like this Deflategate is I look for probably the most self-serving man in all the sports media to weigh in, and of course that would be Bill Simmons. I mean, has that guy become a pain in the ass or what?
Yes.
I understand he's a millennial hero. Yeah. I'm going to get in trouble here, but I don't care. So, he says he's of course ripping Goodell, because that's
his deal.
That's his meal ticket.
Yeah.
You know, and he says he doesn't have the testicular fortitude to say anything about this controversy until he gauges public opinion. Now, in the first place, I don't have any idea what he's talking about. Hey, what, he's mad at him because he didn't come out sooner? Because I don't even get it. Second, the phrase testicular fortitude, as far as I know, goes back to the 50s when Dizzy Dean said it. So I think he ought to give Dizzy Dean credit for that cute little turn of phrase.
I had no idea. That was pretty good on Dizzy's part.
Yeah, it was. And I think everybody thinks it's clever of Bill. I don't know. I think Simmons is a pain in the ass. He's self-serving. And he's made a lot of money. Good for him. But I think it's time for him to go away.
Well, they did fire him, didn't they, from ESPN?
Well,
from
but that's what he wanted. He goaded them into it because he thought he was worth more to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, he was making $5-6 million a year. So then he starts saying, I dare you to fire me, and Roger Goodell is a scumbag. Well, of course, ESPN needs Roger Goodell a little bit more than it needs Bill Simmons. So he knows he's going to get his free agency, and he thinks that's his ticket to wealth. But
yeah, well,
I don't think he'll ever do as well as he was doing.
No, good luck to him.
Yeah.
Mike, it's always great talking. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Mike Gelfand, love talking. We're talking about the race and everything else going on Monday. Thank you.
Good.
Looking forward to it.
Pleasure, Bob.
All right, have a great weekend. Thanks, Mike. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk to Ruth Lorden at Psychic Ruth, ruthlorden.com. Got a few things. You know what? I may ask her if he's willing to have the coach come on, Vince Lombardi, channel him and find out what he thinks of Deflategate. We'll talk to Ruth when we return.
Join Radioactive Sports at the office on Washington Avenue for Twins Ticket Friday.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will be there from 4 to 7 outside on the patio, along with our ticket girls, giving away tickets to that night's game and future games.
From the office on Washington and 844 Hay Workers, get fueled up before the game with $3 cold domestic drafts and a great full menu.
Radioactive Sports, live at the office on Washington before Friday Twins home games. Then walk right over to Target Field.
Finally, an office you can have fun at with Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
We are joined by Ruth Lorden. Lorden is how it's spelled, L-A-R-D-A-N, at Ruth Lorden. Psychic Group, excuse me, and Ruth Lorden, L-O-R-D-A-N.com. Now, Ruth, we were talking during the break. Now, you've got some favorites. Who will win the you told us before the Derby to bet American Pharoah and Dortmund to show, and well, people would have won if they bet Dortmund to show because he was third.
And you would have collected on American Pharoah because if you bet it to show, you win for win, place, or show.
Okay, so you would have. What are you predicting now? Are you telling somebody to go show, or can you get the winner?
I do not know how the trifecta bet goes. I don't know if
you have to pick the order.
You have to pick the order. But if there's a way to do it without picking the order, it is American Pharoah and Dancing Fire. I would bet or bet
firing
both
line. You mean
firing line? Yeah, I bet both of those to show. Now my psychic feeling about this, the Dorkman horse, something funny can happen there. And I hope nobody gets injured, but something funny can happen by, and no, an accident can happen.
We all like a good laugh.
Yeah,
it's funny.
An accident can happen.
We'll keep an eye on that one.
And I wouldn't necessarily bet that horse. It may come in if you want to take a wild bet, bet it to show. That's a wild bet, but definitely betting the other two. American Fire, is that the one?
American Pharoah on firing line.
Firing, well, yeah, and it said American Fire is on fire. So firing line and American Pharoah are both on fire, and either one can win. Bet them both.
So you're basically seeing good things for American Pharoah to win the Preakness.
Yeah. Yes, well, not necessarily win, because I feel the D horse is may...
Dortmund
may get in the way of that.
Oh, and there goes firing line, or one of the others, perhaps Tale of Verve, Danzig Moon, or Divining Rod. Now,
close but no cigars.
Is Coach available?
Yes, and
Vince Lombardi.
He came through. And
I want to ask about the Flategate. Is he?
Yes.
Does he see this as a big deal? It is
no.
Cheating.
He reminded me of what he told us last time. First, he told it to me, and then he said, "Don't you remember I told you this before?" He said, "This is no big deal. Things like this happen all the time in football. It's football. It's a game. It's war. You need to be prepared for whatever comes your way. It may be wrong, but it's just something to put up with in the game." And I said that before. You need to be prepared for teams to do things like this. That is how the game of football is played. Don't try to put so many rules on it. Rules were made to be broken. We did what we did, but if you're a player, you're a warrior, don't expect it to stay by the rules. I said that to you before. You can look it up right afterwards. Even though they hurt my team, this is how that is. You need to be prepared for these things.
Well, Coach, did you break a lot of rules if they were made to be broken?
He just said he is not saying.
Now,
he says, but look, oh my, he says, look at the tapes. Did they tape? He's look at it.
Oh, you won the games.
That's what counts.
Now, is he? See, that's the aftermath, though, of the, you know, the deflation of footballs with Tom Brady getting a 4-game suspension and $1 million fines. Nothing to the owners. I mean, to the Patriot owners, the draft picks, though, are.
He's very upset with this. He says, this is too many rules. This is not the game of football the way I know it. I like football to be football. It's a game. It's exciting. We play. Anything can happen. Stop putting all these rules and making it crazy. Now we're going to spend so much time checking everything that we're not going to be playing.
Now, also, I want to go to something else. The coach had told us back in at the end of the season, keep an eye on the Cowboys. He liked the Cowboys for next year. Does he see a scenario where Adrian Peterson becomes a Cowboy? Does he think that's pretty much done? So, no, he's got a little crystal ball up there.
He says his balls are not crystal.
Coach is lightning things. Coach is going blue.
I'm turning red.
So
he still likes Dallas. Adrian Peterson doesn't think about that boy. He needs to turn himself around. It won't matter. There's three other players. Dallas has got a good team, and they've got some new changes in how they do their coaching staff. They've got new ideas. They could even win the game. They're going to do it. I'm worried about my Packers. I like to be excited about my Packers. He says they've got a deflate game of their own. They're deflated.
Oh, so he doesn't think things are going to go well for him this year.
They're living on their reputation too much. Now,
he likes Aaron Rodgers, though, right?
Yeah, but he was just saying that Aaron Rodgers needs a lot to be desired. He's getting old. He needs to practice. I'm worried about his arm.
Oh, that's something to keep an eye on if he's got the bad wing going.
He needs to take care of himself.
Well, I'm sure if he, things can go well if he does now.
There's no drinking whiskey. Everyone needs to stay away from the whiskey.
I don't know if he's a whiskey drinker.
He says he used to drink whiskey.
Oh, Coach
did. But that's why he's saying he used to drink whiskey. Now, and he doesn't want the people drinking. He wants them not.
Okay.
He says they need to drink milk.
I was going to ask the coach, from all the yelling at his players, did he ever lose his voice?
All the time. But that's why I drank whiskey.
Oh, okay. The whiskey's good for you. Well, I don't drink, but maybe I'll try some whiskey to get the voice right. It's much better. It's got a little resonance in it today.
He says, not whiskey sour, whiskey.
Okay. Well, please thank the coach for joining us. It's always great to hear from Coach Lombardi. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask.
He just said, Bob, you need to get more on your horse and ride. You need to be riding.
I'm going to do that, Coach. Maybe this weekend. I like driving, though.
Ride.
All right. I'll get on my horse today, and I'll ride off into the sunset and then back again. Now, here's Coach, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to call on you again. Ruth, I want to ask you now. We've never asked you about – we were talking yesterday, and we'll play it later, maybe even now if he just checks in. The greatest baseball bit in history was who's on first with Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. Is Lou Costello available to join us? I mean, I know it's we haven't talked about it. It's sort of like throwing a curve there.
I just heard dancing in heaven, laughing in the grave. People make too much out of everything. Nothing matters. It's all a game.
That was Lou Costello or Bud Abbott?
A person says he's laughing in heaven, dancing in the grave. People make too much out of everything. Life is a game. Have fun.
Well, we're going to have a little fun here. Let's play this, and then maybe he could join in on some of it. Or do you have it that you can play?
I got a small clip right now.
Let's hear it.
We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second? I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name?
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first base.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Well, I know that just happened. I saw a thing on a Facebook post that actually there was who's on for there were people because that name.
Who, oh, there was not was a team of the
yes,
guy.
Yes, it was H.U.
No.
Yes, it was.
No. Oop. What?
H.U.
Is she right? Well, who's on first? There was no who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third. That
it came up that H.U. because there was
okay,
a player
that's
named
possible.
Who.
Okay. Yes, I thought
Shu.
I thought she was saying the entire team was like that. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, because what I would love to do is, do you know anyone else who channels besides you?
Not any good, but
we want somebody good, because it would be great to have you and another person, one of you channel Lou Costello, the other one channel Bud Abbott, and have them do the bit for us. It'd be the first time it's been done in over 70 years.
I'll look around.
All right, you let us know. Ruth Lordan, Ruth Lordan, L-O-R-D-A-N, at Ruth Lordan. Excuse me, Ruth Lordan, L-O-R-D-A-N.com, at Psychic Ruth on Twitter. And where will you be tonight?
Well, I'm always available for private readings. Tonight I'm at the Poorhouse and 4 to 7. That's in downtown Minneapolis, the Lumber Exchange Building. Wednesdays and Thursdays, you can find me at the Medina Entertainment Center.
Great. Ruth, thank you. And we're going to take a quick break. Come back with Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa. We'll be right back.
Passionate sports talk.
Joe Mauer is playing good baseball right now. He's very polarizing. You either love Joe Mauer or you don't. But Joe Mauer is playing good baseball right now. I know he's not a catcher. I know how much he's paid. But he's an important part of that Twins team.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
We are joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa built in Canada. The Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Oh. Well, we will be joined by Jim momentarily. We actually had quite a few calls, people wanting to know Mike's pick for the Preakness, so we were dispensing that. It just will be a second here. I'm going to ask him the same question that that I was asked, I think, in threesome.
Which one?
Which There's, one?
There was three of them.
You had a baseball question, did you not?
Yeah, there's something about speak softly, carry a big stick.
No.
Who said that? Aaron Hicks?
Actually, what I'm going to ask him about, you had the yeah, you had the Hicks thing. All right, now I want to talk to him about... You asked me the question about if Torrey Hunter's impact on Aaron Hicks in spring training might still have carried over into his minor league season and now in the majors.
I'm just saying, I think it did just because they had their lockers right next to each other. Aaron Hicks was able to pick the brain of Torii Hunter, who's been playing outfield for 37 years, something like that. Trevor Plouffe said Torii likes to consider himself 30 years old plus 9, so he still feels like a young man.
Well, I think he has been around a long time. He is a guy, like I said, he's a great guy to deal with. He's a good locker room presence, one of the best they've had in there. And they've had good ones over the years, particularly during their World Series years. You know, and then but they've always been good locker room presence is with this team.
Which is a good thing.
It is a good thing. Is there something wrong with the phones again?
No.
Oh, all right. Not a problem.
I wouldn't think so. I meant there might be something wrong on the other end. Maybe Jim's phone's off.
Well, if that's the case, then we'll have to we'll deal with that. Now, the Twins tonight play against Tampa Bay. One team, Tampa Bay, 4 games over .500. Your Twins, 3 games over .500. Should be a good series or a decent series. And it's supposed to be a good weekend or a hell of a weekend to watch a game, right? I mean, the weather's supposed to be pretty nice this weekend, isn't it?
Well, it's supposed to be hot.
Well, that's what I mean, hot. I like hot. I like muggy.
With sporadic thunderstorms.
I hate sporadic thunderstorms. Yeah, those I'm not so crazy about.
They can happen overnight. I don't plan on doing anything overnight. Just during the day?
Well, is it tonight or tomorrow night with the thunderstorms?
Tomorrow and Sunday. I think they're more likely to happen all day Sunday or something.
Yeah, great.
Like that.
So it could impact Sunday's game.
Yes.
That's no good. I wasn't going to go, but that's no good either way. Now, I wanted to, while we're waiting for Jim, I wanted to talk to you about it. What do you think the chances are? We mentioned it before. Tom Thibodeau, reports are he's gone as the Chicago coach. And the Bulls just, you know, there's a management rift with him. He's going to be a hot ticket on the open market.
Yeah, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. There are certain teams that they just heard rumors of Thibodeau being let go. So they kind of just started getting rid of their head coaches. Monty Williams is one of them in New Orleans. They just made the playoffs for the first time since 2011,
that's
and they
ridiculous.
Decided to get rid of him.
But
and
why
there are
would
other
you...
teams out there. The Orlando Magic are going to be looking for a new head coach, but there's a lot of teams that are going to be going after him. That's why I think that's one big reason that Flip wouldn't try.
Well, why would you fire a guy if you don't know you have the other guy, you can lock the other guy up? That's crazy.
It's that big of a deal to get to land this coach. He can really fix the defense of a team and make you a competitor. They could have won a couple championships if Derrick Rose never went down with that first knee injury.
Oh, yeah, they would have been terrific. Well, here's the question, though, because the name that's come up, one of the names is Fred Hoiberg going to Chicago. He was Iowa State all the way, but when you get a chance to go in and get a potential championship team, mm-hmm. if Derrick Rose can stay healthy, and that's a significant if.
Yeah, coaches chomp at the bit for something like that to come into a better situation than a rebuilding process like Minnesota. Chauncey Billups turned us down saying you don't know how well you're going to do through a rebuilding process. You might get fired after 2 seasons and never get another shot.
Well, yeah, you're the setup guy. You make it easier for the next guy.
Your transition.
But there might be, you know what, if the, I don't know how quick things are going to move, but if you, well, actually, like, how could they can't screw this up? The NBA draft, unless they wind up fourth.
Now, that's the only way they could screw this up, and it's not really them doing anything. It's mathematics.
It's being screwed.
Screwing over the Timberwolves.
Because the only two, I mean, I'd say there's more than two guys that are going to be terrific. But Karl-Anthony Towns and Jahlil Okafor are going to be terrific. D'Angelo Russell, I don't know that they would make that pick. Although, if he can be your off guard, there's nothing wrong with that. I would take him. If you're third and you have a shot at him, take him.
I would lump this in with the same year that the Timberwolves ended up with Kevin Love. Because they had the third pick, I believe, and they just took best player available. It was O.J. Mayo, even though they didn't really want him on this team.
Yeah.
They held him, waited for an offer, picked up Kevin Love, Mike Miller, got some pieces together, and that was supposed to be what they were building around. So it could be one of those situations, like we even talked to Andy Greeter yesterday, where he said the Sixers would probably still take Jahlil Okafor if they were at number two.
And then deal him.
And then, yeah, they would do the same thing. Just like us drafting O.J. Mayo. You draft the best guy and then wait to find the best offer.
And the offer should come quick because if you're the Timberwolves, you could have the deal. Well, that's what I don't like about the NBA draft. You don't know what deals were made until after the draft. Why they don't announce them like the NFL does in progress is ridiculous.
They just say rights have been traded.
Yeah, sometimes they don't even tell you.
Like rights have been traded to that team. We don't know what
for. Well, but what's dopey is, all right, let's use a scenario you just mentioned. You get the 76ers get the second pick. They take Okafor.
Mm-hmm.
He's there putting a little Sixers hat on.
Yep.
You know, like he's
snapping
part of the
pictures.
Team. Yeah, it'll be on him for like 3 minutes. And then he tells him, Jalil, don't get too comfortable with that hat because you're going to Minnesota or you're going somewhere else. Shouldn't be that hard.
There was even rumors Chad Ford from ESPN.com said Timberwolves have the 31st and 36th pick in the draft, and there are rumors that they might try to move up into the low to mid-20s. So if they did slip to fourth, get that 25th, just say they get the 25th pick out of the 31 and 36, would that be a decent offer to move up, jump back up into the top three picks? Top two, most likely, you'd be going for number two at the worst.
I'll tell you this. If they could get, I don't know how high you can go. If you could patch those picks in a player, get up however high it takes you to get to draft Tyus Jones. Because I think he's going to be a terrific NBA point guard. And these drafts, he really hasn't moved. He should be, I mean, he's on, some of them don't even have him in the lottery. I mean, he should be a lottery pick. I think he should be a top 10 pick, but people don't really have him that high. What he did in that championship game tells you, what more do you need to see than the fact that you want him to be your point guard? He did everything you want a point guard to do, and all the leadership he displayed in that championship game. His two teammates, the other two best players on the team, kept going out with foul trouble. He just took the game over.
Yeah, he showed the ability to make big shots.
Big plays.
Numerous times.
He's
throughout
a leader.
The season. He closed out games as good as anybody else in the NCAA last year. But I think it's just a size of body, a speed thing. Just, I think that's what NBA teams are looking at. How hard is he going to work to get even better?
He'll work
quicker,
as hard as it needs to.
He will.
As what it needs to be to take. And if you're the Timberwolves, I would not. That's why I don't have a problem if they were to take. If they wound up with D'Angelo Russell, they had a shot at him. They got to take him because mm-hmm. then you're covering yourself for Rubio being hurt. And if not, then you got a shooting guard.
Yeah. Russell seems to be more of a two guard, but he's more than capable to be a point man. So having that flexibility, especially since Rubio hasn't really
proven he can stay really good flexibility.
So then you have LaVine, Russell, guys that can
play
both positions.
Well, that's what I mean. LaVine could be a guy you have coming off the bench where he could go at either spot if you need him to.
Mm-hmm.
You could even throw him a small forward if you had to because he can jump. All right, go ahead.
We got him.
All right, Jim Suhan. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Jim, how are you?
Hey, sorry about that. I dropped my phone today, got it fixed, and yours was the first test where I had to try to find a way to answer it. I could not get my phone to answer.
Oh, how'd you wind up getting it? How did you get? Did you call in, or how'd you wind up getting it?
No, it finally worked. It's like I don't know how. I don't know why it didn't work or why it worked. It just finally did.
That's fine. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you have?
As much as you want.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll just do the next segment with
Perfect.
You. All right, we'll be right back with Jim Suhan. His sponsors are, of course, by Premier Pool and Spa. Jim with the Star Tribune. Be right back with Jim Suhan.
Your all-day sports talk leader. 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show. Only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Let's get to Jim. We're joined by Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Jim's segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa. Built in Canada, the Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa, they take fun seriously. Now, Jim, I haven't in mind how much this bothers me or doesn't bother me, so I want to ask you about it. Randy Moss is going to come to town on May 23rd, sign autographs at Ridgedale Mall at FanHQ. There's a store there. $84 for the autograph, and according to the store website, the signing is a benefit to raise money going toward financial aid for youngsters to attend an intensive summer football camp run by former Gopher and Viking player Tyrone Carter. My question is, why doesn't Tyrone Carter just give scholarships? I thought, it's a fundraiser. Then I thought, well, if it's something to benefit some kids or help them, I don't know. This one just seems weird to me. Who's going to pay $84 for a Randy Moss autograph, first of all? And that's the lowest you would pay.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a tough one for me. I mean,
what is for me, too.
Moss certainly has the right to try to make money off what he did in his career, and yet you would think that he wouldn't necessarily need this kind of thing. And like you said, if that $84 is really going to help an underprivileged kid directly, well, that's awesome. Of course, we're all for that. It just sounds strange to me. And I, to be honest with you, I didn't think about it as deeply as you have, so I'm just giving you a gut reaction. I haven't really figured much about it out. I haven't investigated it. It just sounds a little weird to me.
Well, it does, because again, Tyrone Carter's a great guy, but I would think help kids out by just giving them a scholarship. $84 though. Make it $8.40, 84 being his number. You get a lot more people coming through. I mean, who's got that kind of disposable income? There are hardcores that would want it, but that's a lot of dough to be forking out for a Randy Moss autograph.
Or at least, you know, charge people $50, like for 50% of the plays he played really hard on.
That's a great point. He signs when he wants to sign.
He signs when he wants to sign, and he is asking for straight cash, homie. Yes, all of the above.
Yeah, that's where it's going. Now, we could certainly talk about. Oh, actually, I will ask you a Twins question. Helmsy here. That's what we're starting to call him now, because that's what Al Newman and Gene Larkin call him. Helms. Can't believe they didn't add the C to it, so we'll call him Helmsy. He asked, and you would have an idea because you were there. He was wondering if Torrey Hunter's influence, I know you wrote about Torrey today, if his influence on Aaron Hicks in spring training could have carried over to what he did in the minors and what he's done since coming up.
I think so, because for the last 4 years or so, and really about the time that they needed Aaron Hicks to become a player, he didn't have many role models. I mean, like, Brian Dozier is a really good player and a really good guy, but he's also like the same age as Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks isn't going to look up to Brian Dozier.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Mauer keeps to himself in his head, struggles both physically and statistically. You know, Glenn Perkins is a great guy, and I think he shows a lot of leadership in his own way, but he's a closer. He pitches four innings a week, and he sits in the bullpen talking to guys. He's not a presence on the bench. You know, there really hasn't been a role model for Aaron Hicks, and maybe he needed one. You know, you love the athletes who don't need one. I mean, Torrey Hunter had Kirby Puckett as a role model, but you also know that Torrey was going to figure it out some way anyway.
Sure,
that's who he is. But Aaron Hicks didn't know how to grind. He didn't know how to work up his craft. He didn't understand the urgency. He struck me as one of the guys who thought, oh, well, I'm a first-round pick, and they're paying me a lot of money, I must be good, rather than, well, I'm a first-round pick, they're paying me a lot of money, I better produce. And I think Torrey woke him up a little bit, because Torrey is just one of the all-time work ethic guys.
Did you talk to Torrey when you've interviewed him for the newspaper, you've had him on a podcast, and you've spent a lot of time with him. What does he want to do when he's done? Would he ever want to get into managing? Or he doesn't strike me as a guy that would want to be a coach. I would think he'd want to manage, if anything, or has he shown no interest in it?
Well, one of the great things about Torrey is not only is he a great interview, but he'll give different answers to different people on different days. Because he just kind of says what comes into his mind. So I think the day that this spring when I wrote that he wanted to be like an assistant general manager, it was funny because I talked to him and Perkins on consecutive days where Perkins said he wanted to be kind of the analytics liaison between the front office and players to help players understand what statistics can help them. Because Perkins is very analytical and very much into advanced stats. I mean, I think the next time I talked to Torrey, and I said, well, what do you want to do when you retire? He said, I think I want to be a broadcaster. And then the next day we were talking, and he had told somebody else that he wanted to be a general manager. And then he told me, well, maybe I want to be an assistant general manager. I don't want to, you know, be the person running the organization, but I want to be the person who is another kind of liaison to the clubhouse, because a lot of people in front office don't know, don't understand the mentality of the player. So I've gotten like three different answers from Torrey on that one. In other words, he probably hasn't figured it out yet.
Well, what would he, knowing him, what would he be best at?
Well, he'd be a blast as a broadcaster.
Yes, he would.
But, you know, doing however many games those guys do, 120, 130, 140, you end up watching a lot of bad baseball. You end up running, you know, even if you're funny, you might end up running out of line.
Yep.
I'm not sure that would hold his interest very long. And so I really see him being either a presence with the Major League Baseball Players Association or an assistant general manager who is somebody's right-hand man. And maybe he ends up being a general manager, but I think it would be very easy for him to be kind of a player assistant general manager who offers the perspective of the player.
Yep. Now, as we were talking, my Twitter page refreshed. I know Bud Grant is now on Twitter, at HP Bud Grant. I have a hard time believing it's him writing this.
There's
No, it must be somebody from his family. It says tons of Viking stuff with the, you know, Viking stuff, because he's having that May 20th or 22nd. She's having another garage sale. Do you know who it is? Is it a family member?
I don't know. Somebody told me they thought it was somebody in the Vikings organization who was doing it for him. But I don't have a name for it, and I haven't really worked that hard to figure it out.
No, and it's not something. But I mean, when you Bud Grant saying tons of Viking stuff, that's just not going to happen.
I was talking to Bob Hagen, our friend who is the Vikings PR director, the other day, and he was saying that he said it's a hoot being out there. He said Bud just somebody will walk up to Bud and treat it like the normal normal yard sale and say, hey, how about I give $15 for this, and Bud will look at him and give him the look and stare him down and go, says $40. I'm taking $40.
Oh, Bud will not drink. No, he won't drop the price.
That's the entire negotiation right there.
Yeah, and you know what? You better be happy to get it too, because it's from Bud Grant.
That's exactly right, Harry Grant.
Yeah, Harry Peter Grant. Jim, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Thanks for getting for sticking with us there.
Sorry about the technical.
No problem. Now it's fun. It's fine.
Talk to you Monday, though.
Okay, thanks. Take care, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. His segment sponsored by Premier Pool and Spa, which features the Arctic Spa, built in Canada. Arctic Spa can handle Minnesota winters. Premier Pool and Spa. They take fun seriously. As do the guys that are going to be following us on deck. Tomorrow's On Deck Radio will be there with them, Helmsy, but Retroactive Sports live at the office for the Twins game. Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson coming up. What are you playing now?
A little BB send
out. That's what I was hoping. BB King passed today at, 89?
88.
My voice is getting stronger, getting resonant. We'll be back in full throat and force on Monday. Mike Gelfand will join us. Jim Suhan will be with us on Monday. Plenty of other great guests. We look forward to talking to you then. Have a great weekend.
Streaming worldwide at 105theticket.com.